Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Lamed Vav. We are starting on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. We're about halfway down in the Amud. The Gemara is coming off of a Mishnah. We're here in the fourth paragraph of the Masechta. We're talking about the parameters of prohibition of Isser that exists between the Madr and the Mudar. Madr is making a Neder. He's telling you, via Neder, he's saying that this person over here is not going to be getting any benefit from him. So at this point in time now, so there's an Isser Hana. Any hana that's going to be provided is in fact now going to be a violation of the neder. So what falls into this category, into the parameters of hana? What is considered a benefit? What's not considered a benefit? Okay, so generally speaking, we have a good understanding of what falls under the category of the benefit, but the Mishnah highlights those things which do not qualify as benefits and therefore can be done. An exchange can be made between the madr and the mudar on certain activities. So, and what are those certain activities? So that's what we're discussing. The Mishnah that we saw yesterday in Lamed Hamid Beis says that that even though I can't provide hana for this individual because of the neder that was made, but I could take off truma off of his produce. Okay, that needs more clarification. That's coming up in the second half of today's daf. What does that mean? I could take off truma on his produce. I'm using. What am I using for the truma? Am I doing it with his permission, without his permission? Did he authorize me? Did he not authorize me? There's so many questions that need to be clarified. We are going to do that a little bit later on this morning. The Mishnah also says that, if, let's say, for example, a kohen. In other words, I made an edder so that a kohen can benefit me. Okay. But he happens to be in the Beis HaMikdash. He's working in the Beis HaMikdash. I need to bring karbanos. Can he bring karbanos on my behalf? No. Okay. So the Mishnah said, yes, he can. So the Mishnah says, Makrivin, Makriv alav kinei, zavin kinei, zavas kinei yodos, chatos vashamos. So the Mishnah says, yes, he can bring karbanos on my behalf. And then finally, the Mishnah says, let's say that we have that we're bound by neder and they can't benefit me. But what he's allowed to do is allowed to teach me Torah. Although the Mishnah says he can't teach me Mikra, but he can teach me Torah Shabbat Peh, Midrashim, and all parts of Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay. And obviously we also need to understand why can't he teach me Chumash, meaning what's the difference between Chumash and the rest of Torah Shabbat Peh? Okay, that discussion we're going to be having in tomorrow's daf. So I encourage you, please come back tomorrow. We're going to talk more about Limud HaTorah and why there should be any distinction between one type of Torah and another type of Torah. That we're going to have tomorrow. Okay. The Gemara opened up to yesterday's daf with the following discussion, and that is with Kohanim working in the Beis HaMikdash. So when they're working in the Beis HaMikdash, so they're operating as whose shliach? Are they shliach didan? Are they our shliach? Or alternatively, they're shliach the Shemaya. They're Kadosh Baruch Hu shliach. Okay. Either position is not an easy position to take. As I mentioned yesterday, this discussion that we're having in yesterday's daf and continuing to today's daf is a Gemara's discussion in the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin asks and discusses a similar question. What I missed yesterday is that it's also Gemara in Yuma as well. Okay. Anyway, so this is now going to be the third Gemara. I think yesterday I said there are two. This is now going to be the third Gemara in which this question is being asked. Happens to be, and the Ron points this out, this is not breaking ground over here. It happens to be that the Gemara in Kiddushin, when discussing this, and also the Gemara in Yuma as well, I just don't remember the Gemara in Yuma, but the Gemara in Kiddushin, when discussing this, so says that the answer is obvious. Even though our Gemara, it's so funny, our Gemara discusses this as and you'll see, our Gemara is not going to arrive at a conclusion. The Gemara in Kiddushin says the answer is obvious. They can't be our shliach. Why? Because what's the general rule of shlichus? It's a basic rule of shlichus, and that is that you can only do something for me that I myself could also do. In other words, if I'm going to send you as a representative of me, right, in our association, we're voting, proxy voting. So in other words, so I have a vote. But for whatever reason, I'm not going to be there. Okay, good. So you'll vote on my behalf. But in other words, it's something I could do. And therefore, I could deputize you and give you that agency so that you'll vote on my behalf. Good. All right. Wonderful. However, if it's something that I can't do, I can't make a shliach for that individual. Can I go into the Beis HaMikdash and do the avoda, meaning me, the non-kohen? No. So how in the world could they be serving as my shliach if it's something that I can't do myself? Good. The point that I just made is the Gemara in Kiddushin, meaning all I did is just simply articulate the argument over there in the Gemara in Kiddushin. And therefore, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that they, by definition, have to be shliach the Shemaya. and not the shliach didan. Okay, good. That's the Gemara over there. Our Gemara over here, the Ran says this. It was yesterday's Zaf. I'm not sure if I highlighted this Ran, but our Gemara feels that, well, let's take a look at Mishnayos and let's take a look at Brises and let's see if there's any clear indication which way we can go based on doing what we normally do in Limud HaTorah in the Daf, and that is we'll go through Mishnayos and Brises and see which one seems to be more favored. Okay, so now the Gemara points out, how is this going to affect our discussion of Hana? It's very simple, meaning that if they're my shliach and they're acting as my agent, so then they're benefiting me, which would be a violation of the neder. But if they're not my shliach, but rather the shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then they are, then they're not my agent. And so even though they're benefiting me, but they're not working for me, they're working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore they would be allowed to bring karbanos on my behalf. Good. And now, coming around to yesterday's argument, so by virtue of the fact that our Mishnah says that if a Kohen can't be mahana me, if he can't benefit me via neder, and now he brings a carbon on my behalf, the Mishnah said yesterday, he can. He's allowed to. Ergo, he must be serving a shliach to Shmaya and not the shliach of me. That was the argument the Gemara posed yesterday, and the Gemara says it's a lovely argument, it's a wonderful argument, but it's simply not correct. Why? Because look back at our Mishnah. This is, again, all this is a review of what we did yesterday. Look back at our Mishnah. So what did our Mishnah say? What can't the shliach do? Let me edit that. That was not correct. What can the Kohen do? The Kohen can bring any carbon. That's not what the Mishnah said. In fact, if you look back at the Mishnah yesterday, the Mishnah was very specific about which carbons can be brought. The Mishnah says he can be makriv, kine, zavin, zavas, kine, yodos, chatos, rashamos. So what do they all have in common? And that is their mechusrei kapara karbanos. Now, it's interesting. Chatos and asham by itself, not necessarily. But in the context of our Mishnah, yes, they're mechusrei kapara karbanos. When mechusrei karbanos, karbanos are the carbon in which you are right now, you just speak to a woman who just gave birth. So you just gave birth, so now what? So there's a waiting period. I'm not going to go through all the details right now. And after the waiting period is over, then you bring an assortment of carbons. It happens to be for the Yoledes, it's a chatas and an ola. Okay, fine. But the point is that what's the purpose of that carbon? Is it because she was a chote? She just gave birth. And I know that there's a Gemara that suggests that maybe there's some chait that was involved at the time of birth, but that's not pshat. Pshat is that she is what's called a mechusrei kapara, and that is that she can't go to the Beit HaMikdash. She herself cannot eat karbanos until she brings these karbanos. Good. And that's true by all mechusrei kapara. Mechusrei kapara just simply are needing the ability to go into the Beis HaMikdash and eat karbanos, right? Annually, every Jew goes into the Beis HaMikdash, more than annually, three times a year, but annually, every Jew goes into Yerushalayim and eats Karban Pesach, and so therefore, in order to do so, you have to bring these karbanos. These are what's called Mechusrei Kapara. And we have to add one more point from yesterday's daf, and that is the Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that for Mechusrei Kapara karbanos, you don't need das. There's no das that's required. In other words, consent is not necessary when it comes to these karbanos, and therefore, when the Kohen's bringing it on my behalf, so therefore, he didn't need to consult with me. And therefore, it doesn't qualify as hana, and that's why it's not in a violation of the neder. So, what we could argue, and in fact, that's exactly what the Gemara is arguing, is that maybe he is serving as my shliach. So then how could he bring my karbanos if there's an isser hana, and he cannot benefit me? The answer is that we're talking specifically about mechusrei karbana, karbanos, mechusrei kapara karbanos, and it doesn't require das, and therefore it doesn't qualify as hana. Okay, I know that's all a mouthful, but that's what we saw yesterday. So uletamech. So we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. So okay, let me, just looking for a good place to start. It's all one thread. Okay, so the Elamiata is where we got it up to. Yeah, okay, Elamiata. Okay, so, right, this is exactly what we got up to yesterday. Elamiata. Now, to appreciate what the Gemara is going to do right now, so what do we say? That when it comes to Mechusrei Kapara, so it can be done without Das. How do I know that? So the Gemara yesterday quoted a drasha of Rav Yochanan. It's not Rav Yochanan's drasha, but Rav Yochanan brought the drasha. The pasuk says, Zos Torah Sazav. And when you have the word Torah, Torah Sazav, it's an expansive term. And what does that include? It includes even children. Meaning that if a child becomes a Zav, it's possible, it can happen. So if a child becomes a Zav, so the Karbanos are going to be burned on their behalf. Was there Das? There can't be Das. We know there can't be Das. Because the child doesn't have Das, and yet the Karban is burned on their behalf. So what does that tell me? It tells me that you don't need Das when it comes to Mechusrei Kapara. Good. That was yesterday. Now we go to today's Daf. Elamiyat tell the Rav Yochanan, we're not today's Daf yet, but you know, you understand. The Lamed Hey Amud Beis. And we're starting about at the halfway point. Elamiyata l'Rav Yochanan zos Torah seyoledes. So ben ketana ben gedola. So you think that when you have a pasuk phrase with the word zos Torah, it's an expansive term. It includes adults. It includes minors. You really think that? So the Gemara says, okay. So let's go to zos Torah seyoledes. When a woman gives birth. Now you are you prepared to tell me that a minor is going to be able to give birth? We know that's not true. So and the Gemara quotes, and we see this all the time throughout Chas. So Zos Torah Seyolas Ben Ketana Ben Gedola Ketana Bas Lady Vatani Rabbi Bikami De Rav Nachman Shalsh Nashim Shamshos Bamoch Ketana Mo Beres Aminika Shemitis Aber Vitamos. Sorry, Ketana Shemitis Aber Vitamos. So there are three women who are going to be using some sort of contraception, and one of those women is a Ketana. I'm not going to go through all the details right now. This is a side point of the Gemara over here. So I'll just give you a sketch of what the Gemara is saying. And that is that a minor is going to use contraception because if in fact she were to become pregnant, so she would die through pregnancy because there's no way that a minor can successfully, go ahead and endure pregnancy. Fine. And therefore when she gets married as a minor, she'll use contraception. Okay, again, all this I'm saying in really short order. There's a lot more to discuss, but the only point that we're looking at right now is that you're suggesting Zos Torah Seyoledes is coming to include a Ketana, and meanwhile, we know by Yoledes, it's not true. A Ketana is not going to give birth. So the Gemara says, Hai Zos Torah Seyoledes, so Bein Pikach is Bein Shota. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. But Zos Torah Seyoledes is expansive. Because what is it coming to include? It's coming to include even a woman who doesn't have das. She's an adult, but she doesn't have das. I.e., she's a shota. So, shekein adam mevi karban al ishto shota kedivir av Yehuda d'tanya. In fact, if a man's married to a shota, and she just gave birth, so now what the husband's gonna do is he's gonna be bringing her karban. She doesn't have das? Yeah, I know she doesn't have das. Exactly. That's exactly the point. That, in other words, this karban is a mechusrei kapara karban, and therefore no das is required. Detani Rabbi Yehuda Omer Adam Evi Karban Ashir Al Ishto. A man is going to be offering a karban Ashir. Okay, so there are various karbanas that are going to be determined based on your economic level, your economic status. Again, I'm not going to go through all the details right now, but the point over here of the Gemara is that it will be determined by the husband. So whatever the husband's status is, that's the karban that's going to be brought, even though the karban's being brought for his wife. But in other words, but he's on a certain status, so the wife comes on board. She enjoys that status. And kol karbanos shechayeves shekach. I'm sorry. And yeah. And kol karbanos shechayeves shekach kosev la v'acharei siyach alai min kadmas dina. In fact, the husband is required to bring all karbanos for his wife. Any karban that his wife is required to bring, so he's going to be bringing on her behalf. It's contractually obligated. That's called the ksuva. And so when it says Zos Torah Seyoledes, it's even talking about a shota. Okay, fine. That was all by way of side point of the Gemara. Anyway, it doesn't affect our larger point, which is that in our Mishnah, when it said that the Kohen could bring Karbanos on behalf of, and even though he can't benefit the owner of the Karban, it's because we're talking about Mechusrei Kapara. And Mechusrei Kapara doesn't need Das. Good. That's the end of yesterday's daf. That's the end of the point. And Mesiv Rav Shimi Bar Abba. So when we are now on the top of Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph, and what are we going to do? We're going to keep litigating. So the question now is that when the Kohen is in the Beis HaMikdash, and they are serving, and they're doing the Avoda, so they're acting as who Shliach? Shliach Tishmaya or Shliach Didan? So that's the question. And let's continue. So Mesiv Rav Shimi Bar Abba Im Haya Kohen. Yizrok Alav Dam Chataso V'dam Hashamo. So over here in the Brisa, it says that, let's say the Kohen is not allowed to benefit me. And so, but meanwhile, what can he do? He could offer my carbon. He could bring an offer, a dam chatzis and a dam asham. So, is that a mechusar kapara carbon? Right now, the thought process is no. It's talking about a chatzis and an asham. Regular chatzis, regular asham. And so, and they could do it on my behalf. So, they must be the shliach of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because if they're my shliach, that's the direct benefit now to me. They're serving me, and they're helping me, benefiting me. And it can't be. So therefore, there must be Shlech to Shemaya. Now, if you notice, by the way, the Gemara just quoted a Brisa, right? In order to make its case. And the Brisa says the Kohen could be offering a Chatzis and an Asham. It is a little bit funny that our Mishnah also uses the words Chatzis and Asham. Go back to yesterday's daf. Go back to the Mishnah. So it says, Kinezavos, Kineyoldos, Chatos Vashamos. So why did the Gemara run to a Brisa when meanwhile it's in our Mishnah? Okay, so the Ran asks this question and the Ran gives an answer. It could very well be that the Brisa just says it a little bit more clearly. And also the Brisa doesn't confuse us with Kine Zavim and Kine Zavos. In other words, the Brisa just uses the words Chatzis and Asham. Anyway, when all said and done, the answer is going to be the same. And that is the Gemara's answer, Dam Chatzis v'Shametzara.
So
the Gemara says, now when the Brisa says Chatzis and Asham, it's not talking about a standard Chatzis, it's not talking about a standard Asham, it's talking about the Chatzis and Asham of Mechusrei Kapara. And we're just going to say the same thing that we've been saying so far all morning, which is that Mechusrei Kapara do not need Das, and therefore we could argue that generally the Kohen does serve as my Shliach. But over here, by Mechusrei Kapara Karbanos, since there's no Das requirement, so therefore it doesn't qualify as Hana. Okay, good. Tanan. Kohanim Shepiklo B'Mikdash, so Mezidim Chayavim. So, if, let's say, the Kohen's Mefagel B'Mikdash, so when we learn Zvachim and Menachos, so how much time did we spend discussing Bigel? Okay, I'm going to give you a non-scientific answer. A lot. Okay, so a lot we spoke about about pickle. Pickle is when the Kohen has a machshava of the carbon being consumed. Chutz l'zmano. Alternatively, chutz l'mkomo also is a version, it's a variation of pickle. But anyway, when the Kohen has a machshava, so now what happens is that he disqualified the carbon. He's mefagel the carbon. Okay. It could be used as a noun, it could be used as a verb. And so under those circumstances, now your carbon is ruined. And who ruined it? The Kohen did. So what about now? What about compensation, right? The Kohen was there to help me, and meanwhile, he disqualified my carbon. I have to go now and buy an entirely new animal. That's a lot of money. So does the Kohen have to reimburse? So this gets onto the discussion of what kind of hezek, what kind of damage are we talking about? Is it a physical damage? No, it's a halachic damage. This is what's called hezek sheino nikar. So do you have to pay for those damages? Generally, no. But over here, if he was mefagel my carbon and he did so bemazed, and that's a funny Kohen, all right, who does so intentionally disqualifying my carbon. And yes, I write in the past we fielded questions of should such a Kohen be deposed and not be allowed to do the avoda?
Right. Kohen to be mefagel, Kohen has to make a declaration.
That's what we knew. That's what we.
He has a declaration without being mazed. If he's making declaration, he's got to be mazed.
Well, the shogeg could simply be he didn't know. He didn't know that we're going to eat it 3 days from now is going to create pickle, or he didn't know that another whatever it was not a knowledgeable Kohen. Okay, we could say that. Either way, I'm just giving a little bit of information, but the point of the Gemara now is the following. So if he does obey mazid, so now what's the halacha? The halacha is he's got to reimburse. He's got to pay you back. And even though it's a hezek sheino nikar, but in other words, he did obey mazid. And so I'm saying it simply, but it's fine. It's not right. It's not right that he went ahead and ruined your entire carbon. And even though technically it's not a physical damage, but it's not right that he doesn't have to pay you back. He's going to pay you back. In other words, the halacha is that he has to pay you back. You could file this under kanas. Okay, good. Now, all that's good, but that's not the point. The point is the following. When does he have to pay you back if he did a b'mezid? What if he did a b'shogeg? Okay, so if he did a b'shogeg, he doesn't have to pay you back. again, it's a hezek sheino nikar. He didn't do it intentionally. He doesn't have to pay it back. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. Hashogegin paturin. Okay, good. So he doesn't have to pay you back. Now, the point of the Gemara now is the following. So he doesn't have to pay you back. But what comes out clearly over here? Ella pigulan pigul. Now, even though he doesn't have to pay you back, but what he's done is he's affected pigul. Now, iamar bishlama shluch dishmayahavu hainush pigulan pigul. So the Gemara says, now let's consider. If he's a Kadosh Baruch Hu shliach, I get it. In other words, he was mefagel. He did so b'shogeg. And the Ran over here points out that the question is going on shogeg. But and that could be debated and deliberated, but we're not going to do that right now. We'll just stick with the Ran. It's talking about the case of shogeg. So he did so b'shogeg. And he has affected pigel. He has disqualified the carbon. If he's serving as a Kadosh Baruch Hu's agent, I get it. But alayim arshulchi didan havu amai pigel and pigel v'lemalei shuchu shavisich l'tikunei v'lo la'avusei. So the Gemara says, but if he's serving as my shliach, here's a general rule when it comes to shlichus. When I'm asking you to serve as my agent, it's to help me, not to hurt me. If I appoint you as my shliach, and then you go ahead and do something which I didn't ask you to do, didn't want you to do, so you know what that does to the shlichus? It destroys the shlichus. It terminates the shlichus. So over here, if the Kohen is going ahead and being mefagel, my carbon, and he's acting as my shlichus, so here's what we should say. We should say that the pigul is just going to be disqualified. Because what happens is that the shlichus is just simply going to be terminated. It's a failure of shlichus. That's what we should say. Meanwhile, what it sounds like is that when he's mefagel b'shogeg, the pigul is in fact, it in fact qualifies, I know it's a funny sentence, it qualifies as a disqualification. Therefore, he's serving as who shliach, not mine, because if it were mine, I would have cut it off immediately. It should be, the shliach should just simply terminate. So must be serving as a Kadosh Baruch Hu shliach. Good. So that's another proof that he's shluchei d'shmaya. So in the base measures, here's what they said. So shani gabi pigol, damakra lo yichashev mikol makom. So the Gemara says, well, maybe pigol's a rule breaker. Meaning, maybe he could be, we're going to argue that he's my shliach. And he's my shliach and I know, in generally speaking, when a shliach goes ahead and goes rogue, so that normally terminates shlichus, I know that's normally the case. Maybe pigel's different. Why should pigel be different? The Gemara has a drasha. Lo yichashev lo. In other words, it's not going to be counted towards him. And the pasuk goes on, pigel yihyeh. It will be pigel. Meaning that basically the Torah is saying is that normally shlichus terminates, but over here, once the Kohen has a machshavas pigel, that's it. It will take effect, even though under normal circumstances it would not. Okay, in other words, put it simply, pigel is a rule breaker. Okay. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, HaKol Tzrichim Das, Chutz Mechutz HaKapara, Sheri Adam Mevi Karban, Albana V'Abanosa V'Ketanim. Okay, so sorry, before I read the next line of Gemara, so just simply what I should do is tie a bow in our discussion. That's it, Atkan. Meaning the Gemara here in Nedarim on yesterday's Daf Lamed Hey, today's Daf Lamed Vav, so went ahead and asked the question again. In other words, like I said earlier this morning, three times in Shas this discussion is had. Here, Yuma in Kiddushin, question of when the Kohen is serving in the Beis HaMikdash, whose Shliach is he? Either my shliach or Kadosh Baruch Hu shliach, and our Gemara basically ends off with, we don't have a clear indication in the Mishnayos. And as I pointed out in the beginning of today's shiur, the Gemara in Kedushin says we know the answer. It's shliach d'shmaya. It's not shliach. It's not my shliach. Can't be that he's going to do something for me that I myself am unable to do. I can't go to the Beis HaMikdash. I can't do the avoda. So he can't be my shliach. Okay, so the Gemara says Shliach Shemaya, but as I pointed out in the beginning of today's shiur, what our Gemara was trying to do was, let's see it from a Mishnah, let's see it from a Braisa. Okay, that's what we tried to do, and there is no clear indication, Mishnahs and Braisas, who Shliach he is. Good, Adkan. Now we tied a bow in it, and now let's continue. Gufa, I'm Rav Yochanan, called Tzrichim Das. Chutz mi mechusar kapara, shirei adam evi karmen albanav abanosav ketanim. So, Rav Yochanan made the statement to yesterday's daf. The Gemara says, let's revisit, let's review, let's analyze. And that is, Rav Yochanan says that when it comes to karbanos and a mechusrei kapara, again, a woman gave birth, she, at the end of her melos, at the end of her count, she's going to be bringing a pair of birds. It's going to be a chatas, it's going to be an ola. And and those karbanos are serving for her kapara. Kapara not because she was a chote, but kapara now that she can go into the Beis HaMikdash. Any karbanos, and it's true for any karbanos that are mechusrei kapara. Same thing for a zav, same thing for a zava. Okay, so Rav Yochanan says you don't need das. And so the Gemara now comments. So Elamiata. So Yavi Adam Chatas Chela Chavera Shekein Adam Evi Ali Shoshota Ki Rabbi Yehuda. So basically, what bothers the Gemara is the following: how do I know that you that Mechusar Kapara does not require das? Because because the parent is going to be bringing a carbon of Mechusar Kapara on behalf of his banim haketanim, on behalf of his minor children. Now, one can make the following argument, and that is that when your child needs to bring a carbon of any one of these carbonos, and the Torah allows you to do so, right? Zos Torahs. So the Torah allows you to do so. So that's a case where, what's the alternative? There simply is no alternative. And yet over there, you can do it, so it must be, this is Rav Yochanan's jump, it's his leap, therefore you could do it in all circumstances. Okay. This is Danin Efshar Misha'i Efshar. Using a case where we have no other choice, and then from there extrapolating. Are you allowed to do that? Can you be done Efshar Misha'i Efshar? And that's exactly what the Gemara is bothered by. In fact, the Gemara says, Elamiata. So Yavi Adam Chatas Chilav Chaver Shekein Adam Evi Al Ishto Shota Kareb Yehuda. You know that, let's say I could bring a Chatas Chilav on your behalf. Chatas Chilav is just a generic term to describe a standard carbon Chatas, right? By Shoga, you violated Shabbos, and so now you have to bring a carbon Chatas. Let me bring it on your behalf. Sure, why not? You know, remember what we learned just minutes earlier today? That if your wife is a Shota, she doesn't have Das, and she needs to bring a carbon, the husband brings it on her behalf. Okay, so let's use that now as a precedent, as a model, in which if I could bring a carbon on behalf of somebody who doesn't have das, so then we could always do that. Even let's say if it's a standard carbon chatas, right? So Alamiata Yavi Adam Chatas Chel v'Chavero. I just read that again. Shekein Adam Mevi Alisha Shota Kareb Yehuda. So Alama Amar Avelazar Yifresh Chatas Chel v'Chavero Lo Asa Klom. And meanwhile, the halacha could not be any clearer. You cannot bring a carbon chatas on behalf of your friend. So the Gemara says, Ishto Shota Echidami. So the Gemara says, well, wait one second. Can we just go back for a moment? You ran over the starting point of that argument. And that is that when it comes to your wife who's a Shota, and you're going to bring in a carbon chatas on her behalf. Can we just stop right there? Your wife is a Shota and she's going to bring a carbon chatas? In what circumstance? Meaning, you bring a carbon chatas when you were shogeg, which means you knew the halacha and you lapsed into a state of forgetfulness. And while under those circumstances, you violated Shabbos or any one of the Isuri Karis, right? As outlined in the beginning of Masechta Krisus. If your wife is a shota, so is that ever going to happen? No. In other words, she's not a shogeg. There's no idea of shogeg by her, because in order to be a shogeg, you first have to have das, and then you have to forget. So the Gemara just ran over that point of, oh, and you know, if your wife is a shota, you're going to bring carbon on behalf. So the Gemara says, just pump the brakes right there. When are you bringing a carbon chatas on behalf of your wife who's a shota? And e da achla kishi shota la bas carbon evi da achla kishi pikachas nishtates. So Amar Rabbi Yirmi, Amar Rabbi Abau, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Achal Chela V'Yifresh Karban Nishtate, Chazer V'Nishtape, Pasol, Ho V'Nitche Yitche. So and meanwhile, look, if she ate the Chela while she was a Shota, there's nothing to talk about, she doesn't bring a Karban. And even if she was sane at the time when she ate the Chela, and then she goes, and you set aside a Karban, and she lapses into becoming a Shota, so you know what happens to the Karban? It's what's called Dichui. The carbon is disqualified. Once the owner of the carbon is ineligible to bring the carbon goes through a process called dichui. That's rejection. It's disqualification of the carbon, and that's it. And once dichui happens, the carbon is not to be brought again. So what exactly is the case where you're bringing a carbon chatas on behalf of your shoter wife? There is no such case. Ela miata, so the Gemara says, okay, you're right. That wasn't a good starting point. Let's try this again. So again, the question of done in efshar mishi'i efshar. So yavi adam pesach chaver shekein adam evi alban of abanos of a ketanim alama am rabbi lazer hefresh pesach chaver lo asa klom. So how about this? I'll bring a carbon pesach on your behalf. Okay. So why? Because we know that when I take my family to Yerushalayim for carbon pesach, so I bring carbon pesach on behalf of my children. My children are minors; they don't have das. And meanwhile, I bring carbon pesach on their behalf. So once that's our starting point, now there ain't breira. We don't have a choice. Meaning that's the way it has to be. Oh, but once we're there, so now I can bring Karm Pesach, I don't know, on behalf of my friend who's an adult. Right? Why can't we say that? And and meanwhile, that's not the halacha. The halacha is that everybody needs to bring their own Karm Pesach. And I say everyone needs to bring their own. Everyone either brings their own or registers along with somebody else. But you can't bring Karm Pesach on behalf of somebody else. So over there, so, right? I'm using the same argument you did. You right? You could bring your carbon on behalf of your children, and then mechusri kapara, so therefore I could bring it on behalf of somebody else. Why don't we say the same thing by carbon Pesach? Same argument.
Don't they have to eat the carbon Pesach also?
Who?
Whoever brings the carbon. Carbon Pesach.
Okay.
Eating it part of the...
Okay, fine. Well, right, Ben's raising, right, a... The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that carbon Pesach is unique to all other carbonos, where the eating of the carbon Pesach is an essential part of the carbon. And so therefore, how could I just bring it on behalf of somebody else if he's not eating it? Okay, a really fair point. Okay, but right now the Gemara is assuming, at least just as an argument, why don't we make the argument? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zera, Selave Savoslav Daraisa. So the Gemara says something really interesting. It's a couple, the Gemara says this a couple times throughout Shas, and that is that the idea that your children need to bring a Karm Pesach, your children don't have to bring a Karm Pesach. It's Lav D'Oraisa. Look at the run on the bottom, right? It's the second wide line. Amar Rav Zera Selavei Savos Lav D'Oraisa La'olam Bichi Hai Dananu Miu Mi Pesach La'matzel Meidak De Selavei Savos Lav D'Oraisa. The Ran explains, Demina Torah Enak Tanim Srichem Lehim Anos Beseh Im B'nei Chabura Ela Ochlem Emen Afa Pishlo Nimnu Alav. Children can eat from the Karban Pesach. They don't have to register over the Karban Pesach. Da'af Agav Dein Pesach Nechal Ela Limnu Yav Hanimila B'ru'uyin Lehim Anos. Now I know, when we learn Pesachim, you're going to hear me say again and again, you can only eat if you're registered. You can only eat if you're registered. And meanwhile, by children, they don't have to. Why? So because you can only eat when you're registered is only for people who can register. But children are not, they're not people who can register, and therefore they can eat without registration. And there's no problem. And then a lengthier discussion in terms of, well, if they can't register, so then how can they eat? Meaning, right. This turns into a bit of a loop now in terms of how can they eat altogether from the Karm Pesach if they can't register.
Aren't they considered like an extension of the father?
Right. Okay, good. So there are a couple ways to explain it. There's an interesting tosis. Anyway, for our purposes right now, let's just stick with our Gemara over here in terms of the point is it's not a good case study. It's not a good case study because your children are not, you're not bringing the Karm Pesach on behalf of your children. I know that's a funny sentence, but that's exactly what our Gemara is saying. You're not bringing the Karm Pesach on behalf of your minor children. In other words, they'll come, they'll eat, but they're not registered. Okay. So that doesn't get off the ground. So the Gemara says, Umi Mai. Mididnan, and the Gemara says, and how do I know that? So I know from the following, and this is something that we saw numerous times. As well, Ha'omer Levanav, Ha'arini Shochet is the Pesach Mishiyala Mikem Rishon Yerushalayim. So you say to your kids as you're making Aliyah and you're right there by Yerushalayim, let's have a race. Come on, kids, let's go. Let's run. Let's see who's the fastest. Let's see who can get to Yerushalayim first. And Kiv Shechnis Rishon Rosh Ruba Zacha Bechelko Umezake Esachavimo. And so what happens is that the first child that gets in, so he wins, and he gets a chelik, he gets a portion. And the others, meaning the second place, meaning not the winner, so the and all the others, so they're going to get his portion. Now, so abisra kai mezakele. So now, if you're telling me that this is a din daraisa, the Gemara is assuming right now that this is after the shechita was done. We know that the cutoff point of registration is shechita, right? That's the basic idea when it comes to registration of a Karban Pesach. And the Gemara is assuming right now that this is post shechita. So post shechita now at this point in time. So who can come on board? Who cannot come on board? Nobody can come on board after shechita. So the Gemara says so. Ella, Lamaluhu Damaluhu Navon. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'm going to ask you now a simple question. So what was the race? Meaning, if right now nobody is able to register over the Karban Pesach, and the whole point over here is that they're children and we're not worried about them registering because there is no registration when it comes to children. So then if that's true, so then what was the whole game over here? The answer is very simple. We all know what the answer is. The answer is it's a game. Meaning, exactly. But it's a game in order to motivate. So the Gemara says, "Kedil azarzam b'mitzvos." Okay, so the whole point over here is to excite the children when it comes to doing mitzvos. Good. Tanya nami hachi. The Gemara quotes a brisa. Same point. Ma'isa haya v'kadmo abanos lebanim v'nimtzu abanos rizim v'abanos shvalim. Okay, the 1 year, what happened? The girls won, and the abanos were rizim, and as far as the sons were concerned, shafel, they were lazy. Okay. Point of all this is that it was just there to motivate them, get them excited about doing mitzvahs. Okay. Torim es trumosav. Ibaye luhu. Okay, the Gemara asks now the following question. Sorry. Okay. Gemara asks now the following question, and that is the following. Hatare mishalo al shal chaver tzarch mi tzarch dato olo. Okay. So Dilma, so mitzvah dilehi v'nichal l'mavdei. Okay, we're gonna open up to the second half of today's daf with a really simple question, a really straightforward question, and that is the following: can I take off truma on behalf of my friend? Okay, in other words, my farm's right next to somebody else's farm. my farm is not even a quarter of an acre. right. We are growing fresh basil right in the front of our house. So anyway, our two farms are right next to each other, and generally speaking, so I'm going to take off truma from my produce and give it to the Kohen, and you'll do the same. And the question now becomes the following: can I do it on your behalf? Now, there's a lot of missing details over here, and that's exactly what we're going to try to fill in. So, but before we get to the details, what are the two sides of the question? So side number one of the question is that kevin deschusu lo, so lo tzarech das. Look, what am I doing for you? I'm doing you a favor. In other words, it's not only work and effort, but also on top of that, there's a monetary aspect to it as well. So on one hand, so it's a schus I'm doing for you, or maybe no. So mitzvah delay. On the other hand, look, mitzvahs, I like doing mitzvahs. And thank you, but no thank you. I'll do my own mitzvah. Taking off truma, giving it to the Kohen, so that's a mitzvah. And I'd rather do it myself. And I appreciate that you want to do it for me, but I'd rather do the mitzvah myself. So over here, so which is going to be a quote-unquote greater value? So Tashma, so the Gemara says, okay, so what do I think I know? I think I know the answer based on our Mishnah. What do we learn in our Mishnah? In our Mishnah Tashma Tare, Mishruma Sav es Masur Sav Ledato. So Bemayeski Nan Ilema. So Balkri Shobalakri. So the Gemara says as follows. Let's go back to our Mishnah. So what do we know in our Mishnah? So what happened was is that there was Hana. There was an Isser Hana between two people. And the Mishnah said that what I could do is that even though he cannot get benefit from me, but what I can do is I can take off truma. That's what the Mishnah said. Now, in the Mishnah, what exactly is happening? That's what we're trying to figure out right now. So, Tarim is truma sav es masor sav ledato. So, all we did right now is quote the words of the Mishnah, but good. That is quoting the Mishnah. Now, we're up to step number two, and that's, of course, understanding the Mishnah. So, b'mayeskinan ilema, min balkri al shel balkri uledato demani le maledato delay. So man shav yishliach. So the Gemara says, well, how about this? Maybe what the Mishnah means is that, again, I can't provide hana to him, right, because of the neder. Maybe the pshat in the Mishnah is I went onto his field, I took his produce, and I gave a percentage of it to the Kohanim, 2% to the Kohen, another 10% to the Levim, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, and that's what I did. The Gemara says, what? So what? In other words, the Gemara says, so first of all, did he ask you to do that? And if he didn't ask you to do that, so then you have no right. You have no right to do that. So elaladato de balakri. So and alternatively, if he asked you to do that and you did it, so you know what we call that? We call that service with a smile. We call that hana. So if I'm going onto his field and taking his produce in order to be mafresh shumos and maestros, and I'm doing so because if he didn't ask me to do it, I have no right to do it. And if he did ask me to do it, so then I'm doing him a favor and I'm benefiting him, and that's a violation of the neder. So the Gemara says, okay, so scratch all that, and so let's try that again. So Ella shalom al shalkri. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what I did. And that is that I took my produce and I used that for as trumas and maestros on against his produce. So now I'm doing him a favor, a significant favor. In other words, instead of taking 2% and 10% of his produce, I'm taking 2 and 10 of mine and using that as trumas and maestros for his. Uladato deman. Ilem uladato debal kriyaka mahanile. Now, if I was given his authorization to do so, and he asked me to do so, that's a no. So Alalav Ladati Dinafshe. So the Gemara says, okay, I did it on my own. So Umishalo Torem Asho Chavero. And now what I did is that I was Torem from mine unto his. Now I Amart Tzarech Da'as. So the Gemara says, okay, now, here is the question. Good. So I took off my produce against his. Now, if there is a da'as requirement, if I need consent, so now, hakamahanilei. So by definition now, so that is hana. Again, this is the second time in today's daf, where once there is a requirement of consent, therefore it results in hana. Right? We had that at the beginning of today's daf regarding the karbanos, and mechusrei kapara do not require da'as, therefore is not a violation of hana. So here as well, if me taking off from my produce onto his field does not require das, so then great. But if it does require das, so then I need consent, and by definition, therefore, me doing it with consent is going to be a violation of the neder. So elalav ain't tzarech das. So it must be that no das is required. Okay, so that was a long walk, but we're here now. So in other words, we looked at our Mishnah. The only way that we could come up with a case of our Mishnah is going to be under the circumstance in which it's my field, it's my produce against his field, and there's no das, and therefore it's not a violation of hana.
If no das is required, how would the guy know that there was a tumor on his behalf?
Okay, good. So I'm sorry. Let me pause over here. I need to stop a little bit early today. Anyway, tomorrow we'll pick it up right from this point in time, and we're gonna offer an alternate shot.